any YouTube videos for tonight for this message, but I want us to think about it anyway, and this is a very practical lesson. You're sitting in this room, and you are struggling with anything. There are people in this room that are struggling with some health issues. There are people in this room that are struggling with relationship issues. There are people in this room that are just plain old, and you're struggling just because of that. And many of you reminded me about that with me this week with my birthday having gone by. But we have struggles. Every one of us has a struggle or one kind or another, and many have a significant number of struggles. And Jeremiah was just like us in that regard. We have a hard time seeing these people in the Bible as living lives just like us. They got hungry, they had to eat, they got tired, they had to rest, they had relationship problems, and they had to solve those. They put off things that they needed to do, just like we do. Their relationship with God ebbed and flowed. It would get really seriously hot at times, and then it would cool off. They would get discouraged. All you have to do is really look honestly at the Bible, and you'll see a lot of people facing difficulties and sometimes not facing them very well. They were just like us. We struggle. But this story here is one of my favorite because it helps me think a lot about how I am only occasionally. I've only wanted to quit preaching one time in my life, and that was back when I was a student at Oklahoma Christian. I just had so much going, and I just was on my way to Asher, Oklahoma to preach, and I was so unprepared. And I'm just thinking, and I really believe I mentioned to Jan, why am I doing this? I was not ready to preach at all that day, and I was miserable. There are a few things more miserable than being unprepared for anything, but standing in front of several people unprepared is really, really miserable. Jeremiah was miserable for a different reason. Man, they didn't like what he had to say ever. It wasn't just every now and then. He brought up a point that people disagreed with. The people of Israel basically disagreed with Jeremiah's whole message. And every time he got up to speak, we're going to see some of the difficulties that he faced, some of the pressures that he felt. And so it was a tough, tough time. And he got to the point, if you look at this passage, he was ready to not mention God's name again, because every time he did, he got drilled, at least emotionally and sometimes physically. So he said, if I say that I will not mention him or speak his name, I'm ready to quit. That's what Jeremiah was saying. He said, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary holding it in. In other words, I want to quit, but I can't. Have you ever been there? Have you ever just said, I don't want to do this anymore? We have some Bible class teachers in this room, and some of you have taught quarter after quarter after quarter sometimes, and you get to the point to where all the pressures of life, and it may be a trip, and it may be an illness, it may be any number of things, you get to thinking, I'm ready to quit. I don't want to do this anymore. And if you preach, every day seems like Sunday, you have to be prepared. And you have to work at it and work at it and work at it. If you teach a Bible class, you have to work at it and work at it and work at it. If you teach at school, you have to work at it and work at it. And sometimes you just want to quit. That is where Jeremiah was. He had a hard life. Sometimes I have thought about how neat it would be to be like the Apostle Peter. Wouldn't that be neat? God says, here, I got some keys for you. It's going to open the kingdom of God. You take them and you have a great life and everything is going to fall into place for you. I actually thought that everything fell into Peter's lap. How easy, how neat. But guys like Peter, they were just like you and me. All you have to do is read the Bible to see that. They made lots of mistakes in their choices. Though they were inspired of God, Their choices were not inspired. They had to make them. God opened doors for those guys. They had to walk through them, and their faith had to be great, and sometimes their faith wavered. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet before he was ever formed in his mother's womb. Before I consecrated you, before I set you apart, before I spoke to you after you were old enough to understand, you were appointed a prophet. He didn't have much of a choice, it seems, does he? But he did. He had a choice to make. He still had to do what God needed him to do. One time Jeremiah said, "Look, Lord, I'm just a kid. I am just a kid. You know, we've got several preachers in the room, and I don't know if you were like I am, and I know that most of you didn't need it like I did, but when I first started preaching, I would do my very best, and somebody would walk up to me and say, 'If you keep on, you're going to be a good preacher.' Being interpreted, you ain't got it yet, and you're not doing very well, so get with it and work harder at it." So I would preach 5 more years, and somebody come up and say, "Hey, listen, you keep after it. One day, you're going to be a good preacher." I don't know how many years people kept telling me that. They've given up. People don't say that to me anymore. They're not expecting me to become a good preacher anymore. So they don't say that sort of thing. But Jeremiah's just a kid. And Jeremiah was speaking to the Lord, and he said, "I am a youth." And God said, "Look, don't say to me, 'I am only a youth.' Don't do that. Young people starting anywhere in this room have tremendous opportunities and ability. You shall go, and you shall go wherever I command you. You'll do whatever I command you. That's what you will speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." So when you start thinking about how tough life is, how much pressure life has, don't say, "I'm too busy. I've got a friend that I love dearly, and I talk to him all the time and been with him a lot. And I will say, 'Hey, man, how are you doing?' His stock response is, 'Busy, busy, busy.' And I will say, 'Come on, man, you're not any busier than most people. Get with it and quit saying that.' But if I called him on the phone right now, I'm confident, and I would call him by name and say, 'How are you doing?' He would say, 'Busy, busy, busy.' It's got to be a response. And you see, what that does is it keeps me from asking him to do something that I would like for him to do. Because you see, I don't want to hurt his feelings because he's busy, busy, busy. And sometimes we think about God in the same way. We want to tell God, 'Look, I'm busy. Look at all these things I've got going. Look at all that I need to do and what I have before me.' And besides that, Jeremiah was saying, 'I'm just a youth. I'm just a kid. I can't get this done.' God is not going to take that. He wants us to know that we have a job to do. So Jeremiah went. And he preached. And he preached. And he preached. And he was preaching this direction toward God, and the people were going this direction away from God. So what we have is Jeremiah identifying all kinds of sins in the lives of the people that he's preaching to. And he is saying, you can't live this kind of life and be in a relationship with God. The same thing would be true with us. He said, you folks that are idolatrous, you are worshiping other gods. You can't do that and be pleasing to God. You people that are committing adultery, you're having sexual relationships with people who are not your spouse. You can't do that. Live right and please God. You people that are oppressing foreigners, people come into the Jewish nation, they were a very proud people, a very prideful people, and they thought they were God's chosen people in a way that God didn't mean for them to think of themselves as God's chosen people. They thought God's going to be with us no matter what we do. God's going to be with us no matter how we behave. No matter what sin is in our lives, and God is saying, no way. And so you need to take care of people that come into your midst with the right kind of hospitality and the right kind of humility and the right kind of thinking. you need to think about the orphans and the widows. It's a very powerful message in the Old Testament. We've got some of the most beautiful people in the world, in this room and in our congregation, who are widows and widowers, and they need encouragement, they need help, they need thought. And you and I, every one of us, you guys and gals over here, as well as us older gals and guys that aren't there yet, we have a responsibility. And there are people, I wish everybody in this world could have grown up in a home that was somewhat similar to mine. You might not have liked it because it was out on a farm early and we had to work hard. We had to do a lot of things. But I wish that you could have grown up in a home that was as spiritually encouraging as my home was. We need to be thinking about other people. My mom was a widow. She was always thinking about other people. What a great example for me. I need to do better. But God says to these people, look at what you're doing. You need to be thinking about that. We all hate liars, don't we? But all of us can be a little bit dishonest. We can hold back some of the truth. We just don't want to say how we feel, what we think sometimes. And if we aren't careful, we'll ease over into lying. Well, these people were just straight out lying often. And Jeremiah's preaching to them, you can't live a dishonest life and be pleasing to God. And there were people that would slander others, like Jeremiah, for example. He was slandered unthinkably as he preached the gospel. And these people were good at that. And then they just did not keep the Lord's Sabbath. They did not think of the Sabbath day as being holy. It wasn't different. They wanted to bring their stuff into Jerusalem to sell on the Sabbath just like they did every other day. They wanted to get out and work so they could have more money and more things and bigger houses and bigger farms and more transportation and whatever else it was that they wanted just like us. And they would violate the Sabbath in doing so. And so Jeremiah preached directly, pointedly, straightforwardly telling them, these are your sins. And so he needed to help them think in terms of their sins. And so as we continue to think about what Jeremiah did, he was a guy that was preaching straightforwardly. Israel would not repent. And so Jeremiah begins to complain to God. You ever complain? You ever complain to God? Why me, Lord? Why did I have a flat tire? Why did that not happen right at work? Why didn't I get that job? And we just complain. And the reality is, we're complaining to the Lord. Because we expect as Christians for everything to work out, don't we? It doesn't happen that way, our way, all the time. Jeremiah was warned way ahead of time. Look what God says to him. Do not be afraid of them. They're going to not like what you have to say, but do not be afraid of them, for I will be with you. I will rescue you. And then he said it again. They're going to fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you, and I will rescue you. God is going to take care of Jeremiah. You believe that? We sing, be not dismayed, whate'er betide. Somebody tell me the next phrase. I really mean it. Somebody tell me. God will take care of you. Do you believe that? No matter what ill may betide. What's the next phrase? God will take care of you. Do you believe that? Well, God told Jeremiah the same thing. Don't worry about it. They're going to fuss and they're going to feud and they're going to fight. But let me tell you what. They are not going to win. You are going to win. I will take care of you and I will rescue you from any kind of problem that you have. Now, Jeremiah said, yeah, that's good. I like that, Lord. I want you to rescue me. But where are you? Why are you not rescuing me now? I've become a laughingstock all day. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. Oh, they couldn't stand Jeremiah. He was the kind of guy that if he were coming this way, everybody would go this way. He did not have close friends. I'm going to guess there's some people in this room that wish that you had closer friends, more friends, that things were more social in your life, and you were invited to do this or you were invited to do that. Jeremiah was hated. They poked at him all the time, derisive comments. He was not a very popular guy. And so he is in the middle of complaining to God. He continues by saying, I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. The word of the Lord just brings me insult and reproach all day long. Did you ever think, God, let up a little bit. Give me a day. Give me a week. Give me a month. Jeremiah said, it's not happening with me either. It is all day long. These kinds of things come at me. And so as Jeremiah continues to complain, oh, he couldn't stand, you and I can't stand, people talking behind our back. And so Jeremiah says, I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived and then we'll prevail over him and we will take our revenge over him. They were consistently looking to get Jeremiah, and they got him quite regularly. He had lots of problems. He had a hard life, and he complained to God about his hard life. But this is the neat part. For all of us who are whiners and complainers when life doesn't work exactly the way that we want it to, and that's all of us sometimes, we need to look at Jeremiah. He had a fire in his bones. What a great passage. If I say, I just won't mention him or speak his name anymore, I'm not going to talk about what God wants me to talk about. I'm not going to tell people about God anymore, because all it has gotten me is ridicule, shame, people whispering behind my back, looking to get me, and that is happening all day long, every day. But here's the great thing about Jeremiah, and I'm hoping it's the great thing about you and me. The word of God was in his heart like a burning fire. He could not put the fire out. There wasn't a way. He whined, he complained, he told God all of his problems. I'm sure he told many other people his problems, as we do sometimes. But this burning fire was shut up in his bones. He couldn't get to it in a way to put it out. How about you? You see, one of the really seriously great problems in our lives, as we look at ourselves generally, is when troubles come, we easily put the fire that's in our bones out. Look at what people do. They stop talking about God. They continue to complain about the problems. They stop talking to God. They quit praying. They stop being a part of God's kingdom. They don't worship. They don't pray. They don't think about the Lord as we did had the opportunity to do today in the Lord's Supper. They quit. The fire goes out. Jeremiah couldn't do that. Wouldn't that be great if we had such a tremendous faith in God, even under the pressures that Jeremiah had, under the pressures that we had? Jeremiah said, I am weary. I have tried to quit. I can't. And so here I go. I cannot quit. I am going to reach out and speak God's name. This fire is so important to us. It was so important to Jeremiah. Here's why he couldn't quit. This fire he couldn't get to put out. He says, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. You see, we think the devil is winning, his people are winning, and we just keep getting lower and lower. Jeremiah had this fire burning in his bones that gave him this attitude that kept him going in the way that he should go. Chapter 23 and verse 29. There are two illustrations Jeremiah gives. One of them is this one that he says is in his bones. It's a fire. Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord? And he goes on to say in that verse, is it not like a hammer that can smash rocks? There is nothing out there but that God can help us and take care of us. We just must be as Jeremiah was and trust in him. And so what we do is we look to Jeremiah as a great, great example. His example was so great, so unthinkably good. Now, we look back at his message. Can you imagine how Israel hated Jeremiah, saying, look at all these sins that we listed a while ago that Jeremiah preached to them about. Can you imagine those people saying, go, man, go. We are idolaters. We are liars. We are people who don't think about widows and orphans. That's us. Preach on. We need to change that. Can you imagine Israel doing that? Well, if you can, you're wrong, because they didn't do that. And our world doesn't do that either. We can preach those same messages today to the people of our world, and it would be just as true today as it was back then with Jeremiah. But the message is necessary. We must preach the word. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy to do? Preach the word. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Be ready, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The word must be preached. If it is to call people's attention to sin that they are involved in, it must be preached. If it's a call to repentance that people need because of the sin that's in their lives, it must be preached. If it's a need for someone to be buried with Christ in baptism to have their sins washed away, it must be preached. Whatever the gospel message is, it must be preached. And so Jeremiah's message was necessary to empty Israel's pride and to prepare their heart to hear the message of the only one who could rescue them. The only one. There's nowhere else to go. You remember that great passage in John chapter 6 when those people heard what were hard sayings to them and the crowd started going away. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, will you also go away? Then the tremendous response of Peter that we need to preach over and over again. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The people of Israel were far and away too prideful. Their hearts were too hard. They were so ingrained in their lying and adultery and mistreating foreigners and mistreating widows and orphans and involved in the sins that they were in to listen to the word of God. They didn't want to hear it because, you see, it wasn't the way they wanted to live. They wanted to stay involved in those things. And so their pride was such, they had more confidence in themselves than they had in God, when God was the only one that could rescue them. As I think about Jeremiah's message, what a great example for preachers. Men and women today need the very message that Jeremiah preached. In all of his misery, Jeremiah preached. Look at what he preached. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. Why? Because he rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. The devil has had a heyday in our world since the Garden of Eden. No different in America today. We might say this is the worst it's ever been. No, it's not. No, it's not. Man has always been sinful. Man has always been in need of the message that Jeremiah preached. May we teach in our Bible classes, and may we preach from this pulpit the kind of message that Jeremiah preached, and may every one of us in the middle of our toils and trials and struggles, may we have the heart of Jeremiah. May that word of God burn in our bones in such a way that we cannot shut it up, but that we will respond in faith the way Jeremiah did. It may be there's somebody in this room tonight. The fire is still burning in your bones, but you've been like Jeremiah, been complaining. Life is such a struggle. You were like Jeremiah, and you're ready to quit. Please think about Jeremiah's response. He could not quit. If you have sat down, get up. If you've stopped, get up. If you're complaining, God listens to our complaints. I want to say, don't totally stop complaining, but if you're complaining, do what Jeremiah did in his complaints. Get up and preach the word, obey the word, and be faithful to God, because he is the only one that can rescue any of us from our sin. Great blessing to be here. Great opportunity to respond to God if we need it. So we sing a song to encourage anybody to respond. If you have a need, please come as we stand and as we sing.
Why do you, brother? Oh, why do you